our pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you, Brother Breed. Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read a part of a verse, and you can read the whole story when you get home. Visitors, we're so glad to have you, and some of you really aren't visitors, you're just back again, and we're glad you're here. You could have gone anywhere in town today to church, but we're thankful that you chose the Cam and worship with us. God bless you. You can't evade responsibility. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 48b, "For unto whomsoever is given much, of him shall be required." No, much shall be required. And you say, "Well, why did you read it that way, Brother Chick?" Because that's the way a lot of Christians read it. All right, continuing on. "To whom a man hath committed much, of him they will ask the more." Father, bless us now as we study your word. May he, the Holy Spirit, be able to do his work. May hearts be touched, may the lost be saved, and the Christian strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you read Luke chapter 12, there's a sister verse, if you please, found in Matthew chapter 25, and it takes up three special teachings in the book of Matthew chapter 25. And they're very similar to what I read from this morning in the book of Luke. Now, each one of those three teaches us that it's impossible to evade the responsibility that God has given us. Now, I know a lot of people say, "Well, I don't have a relationship with God. Subsequently, I don't have any responsibility to Him," but you do. And whether we want to accept that responsibility or not, that's up to us. And the decision whether we're willing to do what our Heavenly Father asks us to do, that's up to us. We can make that decision. God's not a God that's going to take His thumb and push down on our heads until we make a position for Him. But He's going to give you an opportunity. Now, God doesn't want anybody to hell. I've heard preachers say, "Well, you deserve hell." Every one of us deserve hell. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about that a God that loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, to pour out His blood for our sins, and to be resurrected the third day that we might have eternal life and might have heaven. That's what God's all about. God's not something angry up there waiting to just to chew you to pieces. There's a God up there that loves you. But He's also a just God. And when He gives us responsibility, whether we want to accept it or not, we have to do something with it. When our children were at home and sometimes things went wrong, can you imagine? We raised two boys. Sometimes things would go wrong, and some things got broken, and some things were misplaced, and others were out of the place, and some things were left undone. But there was never anybody to accept the responsibility of it. Who did this? I don't know. And you could go clear through the family, including the preacher and his wife, and we'd say, "Who did this?" Nobody did this. But if something's wrong here, somebody had to do this. Now, we had an old English bulldog. He was a lovable old thing. His name was Bolivar Sockwad. What a funny name, but he was funny, and he looked like a Bolivar Sockwad. And so it got to be a joke when something was out of place or something was broken, and no one would own up to it, ever. We'd all come to the conclusion, poor old Bolivar did it. That poor old dumb dog, he's the one that did it. He's the one that did this. And you know, I felt so sorry for him because Bolivar, poor old Bolivar, he couldn't even answer for himself. He'd just look at you, slobber on you, and wag his tail. He didn't care whether he got on him, whether he is guilty or not guilty. You said, was he ever guilty? No, it was always Terry and Randy. Now, Mrs. Chick, if she could say amen, she would have said amen right there. And then she would include the third boy that lived at our house, and that was me. All right. And so today, we're having the same problem. Things go wrong. And things aren't right. And we say to ourselves, when we begin to get pinned down about the responsibility of something that didn't happen, that should have happened, we get to say, oh, I just don't know anything about that. Reminds me of the fellows that got caught in a watermelon patch, and he had watermelon dripping out of his mouth and down his cheeks, and the farmer came up and he said, are you the ones that are stealing my watermelon? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. You see, even though he was caught red-handed eating a watermelon, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm reminded of that little fellow that came forward one Sunday, and I've used this recently, but it fits here. And he came forward, and he was talking to us about wanting to become a Christian and being saved. And the altar worker, the personal worker, said to him, said, well, honey, before you can get saved, you have to realize that you're a sinner. Now that put him back on his heels. He said, that I'm a what? A sinner. He said, I'm not a sinner, but my sister is. You see, we want to push the responsibility to somebody else. We never want to take the responsibility ourselves. And that's the trouble with the world we're living in today. Nobody wants to take responsibility. This is the way the world looks at things. It's all right to push it aside and not take the responsibility of it. But I want to remind you of one thing. When time comes, God's going to hold every individual responsible for themselves. We're going to have to answer for ourselves. You're not going to be able to say, well, my sister is, but not me. No, you won't be able to say that, and God's going to hold us accountable. So this morning, I want to talk about responsibility. Now, whether we want to believe it or not, Jesus is coming again. And I know a lot of people who sit back and say, well, we've heard about the coming of Christ for about two millenniums. Well, the early Christians, they really looked forward to the coming of Jesus. They'd walked with him. They'd talked with him. He fed them. He took care of them. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also. And those folks were looking forward to that. And you know what? 2,000 years later, in the same book of John, chapter 14, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. And you know what? I'm ready. I want to be with him. I look forward to that. And I'm thankful that I have Jesus Christ in my heart. So when the time comes, Brother Wickard, and he comes, I'm going to be with him. You've heard me say this before. When I was a young preacher, I thought about this. Jesus said to the Christian, and that includes you and me, he said, I'm lo, I'm with you even to the end of this world. And I thought, okay, he's going to be with us. And then I got to thinking, he's just going to be with us to the end of the world? And there's an eternity ahead? And that kind of put me back, John, just a little bit. Kind of threw me back a little bit. And I thought for a minute, and I said, wait a minute. He's just going to be with us to the end of this world. And then a big old smile broke across my face, and the light bulb went on in my brain, and it said this, because you and I that are Christians, We won't have to have him with us because we're going to be with him. And you see, the sad thing about it is not everybody in this room today is going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those who have accepted him as Savior. And so it is. Now, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, I want us to listen to what the Bible says. But of the time and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, we have earthquakes. We have all the things that are happening in the world we live in. Fires and tornadoes and earthquakes and floods and wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and HIV and all the other diseases that are coming on the world, and there's no cure for them. And we say to ourselves, well, something must going to be happening. Well, everything God says is coming to pass in the last day are with us today, folks. And not all of them are always with us. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, why are we having so many earthquakes? And I said, well, the only answer I can give you is the answer found in the Bible. The Bible said in the last day there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. That means many places. And all of these other things that are happening, and famines are beginning to kick in. And brother, I'll tell you what, it's dry out there today. And you can realize today that if we don't get some rain, the wheat crops will not be very good. Amen? The feed crops are not going to be very good. And we can readily see how that in Africa and all the other places, the third world countries, that people are literally starving to death. And we're feeding them. America is the world's grocery store, and we're feeding them, and they're bombing us. Isn't that strange? They're biting the hand of those who are feeding them. Now let's move on. He said, there's no need for me to write to you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, and when they shall say peace and safety. And that's what the East Coast is looking for, brother. I'll tell you what, they're tired of rain. And we're tired of not getting any rain. And I remember what the Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and right now we must be unjust. Brother, we need the rain, and they shall say peace and safety, and what? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, why did he use that illustration? You know, when a child gets ready to be born and that time comes, it's going to happen. And God said at this time, through the hand of the Apostle Paul, the people understood that when it came time for the full time of a child before it's born, that when that time comes, brother, it's going to happen. And I always prayed, Lord, don't let our boys be born on Saturday night, because, Lord, I got to get up and preach tomorrow, and I'm going to be up all night, and I'm going to be tired. And guess what? They were born on Saturday night. And she reached over and woke me. She said, honey, I hate to disturb you, but it's time to go to the hospital. I said, huh? Honey, wake up. It's time to go to the hospital. And I got in the car, got dressed, got in the car, and got three blocks down the road before I found out she wasn't in the car with me. You know why? Because I knew when the time comes, it's going to happen. And this is what God said. This is the same comparison. He said, brother, when it comes time, when this world is going to catch the dickens, and when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon it, he said, it's going to happen just like that. It's going to happen, and nobody's going to be able to stop it. It's going to take place. And then notice, whether we accept it or not, it's a reality. And we're going to be held responsible. And you know, when the rapture takes place and the Christians are taken out and you're left behind, lost friend, you'll not be able to say, well, nobody told me. You know why? Because I'm telling you right now that Jesus is coming again. You say, well, why didn't he come before now? Because all the scriptures weren't filled. Everything had to be fulfilled. All the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And there's only one scripture left. Believe me now, and you show me another one that hasn't taken place, that God said is going to take place before his son comes. And the one thing that's left that hasn't been done yet is when Jesus gives a shout from the clouds and we're going to leave here. That's the only thing. And I want you to know that when that last person receives Christ as their personal Savior, the shout's going to take place. When God the Father says, all right, Jesus Christ, my son, it's time to go get your people. When that last person gets saved, we're out of here. We're gone. And if you're not saved, you're left behind, and you've got 7 years of tribulation to face. And if you think the Holocaust and World War II was bad, if you think starvation's bad today, if you think earthquakes are bad today, if you think all these terrible, dastardly things that are happening today, if you think they're bad now, you wait until the Christians are caught out of here and taken home to be with the Lord. You're going to really see God's wrath then. You say, well, you're trying to scare me. No. I'm telling you the truth. Now, knowing what I just said, what should be taken care of? Well, number one, take care of yourself. You say that's very selfish. Did you hear the men singing this morning? Wasn't that a beautiful song? First there's one, and then there's two, and then the gospel spreads around the world. And I was thinking about the Philippines when I was there preaching in a church about our size. And the Sunday morning I preached and gave the invitation, and most Filipinos can speak English, and all these people started moving forward. And I thought, Brother RJ, I thought they might be coming to throw me out. And the little Filipino pastor was standing next to me, and I said, what's happening here? He said, Pastor Chick, these people are coming to accept the Christ you just told them about. He said, when you talk about Jesus and truth, they listen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people in America would do the same thing? Yeah. But you know, we kind of hold back and we say, well, yeah. And some of you are holding back this morning. You say, yeah, I know I need Christ in my life. I know that. And I've made it this far, and sometime in my life, I'm going to let Christ come into my life, and I'm going to let him be my Savior. And that's called procrastination, putting off what needs to be done. And one of these days, you're going to put it off too long, and then you're going to be held, what? Responsible for not having Jesus as your Savior. Now, here's the thing that concerns me. If we'd hold up a clip full of money and say, you can have this money if you come and get it. However, I'm not giving it away. And you know, it's surprising how many people would come and get it. If they were giving away new Lincolns out at Stevens Lincoln Ford dealership, and they said, all you got to do is come in and get it. You know what had happened? You think Owen Garrett's busy now? Man, you'd be runned over 15 times. If you're going to give me a free car, man, I'm going to be there. Or if one of the builders in Enid said, we're going to open this whole area, and we're going to give everybody a free home if they'll just come and accept the deed to the properties. And you know what would happen? You talk about a land rush. You think we had a big one back when we became a state, man? I mean, you'd have Nike prints all over your back. Then run all over you getting there, right? How many would like to have somebody give them a new car? How many of you are liars? Yeah. How many would like to have a new car? Free? Come on. What? John, you don't want a free? Okay. There you go. Listen to me. If we said, I'll give you a free home, you know, look out, here I come. And yet, you know what God's doing? He's given us the privilege to have eternal life in heaven. He's given us the privilege of not dying and going to hell and eventually the lake of fire and brimstone. And he said, all you've got to do is to have heaven, is to come and receive my Son as your Savior. That's all you have to do. And you say, but that's too easy. That's the way God is. He did the hard part, and he made it easy for you. And you know what's going to happen this morning? Even though God's given heaven away free, there's going to be some that are here this morning that need Christ that are going to turn their back and walk out the door. And they're going to say, well, it sounds too good to be true. I'm going to tell you, folks, it isn't sounding too good to be true. It's true. How many of you are saved here this morning? Here's your illustration. All of these people did that. And they've got heaven. And now you know what? God wants you to have it. And you know, if I could come and get the keys to glory for you, I would, but I can't. It's up to you to come. And all you have to do is say, God, I'm a sinner. And don't say your sister is, because she is, but don't say that. God, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And by faith, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he rose again the third day, and I accept him into my life. And God will hand you the keys to heaven. Sounds simple. Jesus went through the hard part, didn't he, church? He did the hard thing. He made it simple for you and I. Shall we stand?